Blackstone Publishing presents Who is Vera Kelly? By Rosalie Knecht. This book is read by Elizabeth Rogers. For Mark Joseph Leonida, and in memory of his father, Deacon Claude M. Leonida. October, 1957. Chevy Chase, Maryland. On a Tuesday, I came home from school to an empty house, watched the evening news, and then took two Equinil caplets lifted from my mother. Nothing happened, so after an hour, I took three more, and then maybe more after that, I can't remember. My mother came home from work after a late evening laying out a special issue of the magazine and found the decorative fish tank in the front hall, smashed on its stand and the fish on the carpet. I had apparently stumbled and fallen against it in my stupor, and then climbed the stairs to my room and sat down to write a letter to my friend, Joanne. My mother found me passed out on my desk, drooling on my stationery set. She told me all this when I woke up at 4 a.m. in the hospital.
"You know you can't talk to her, Vera," she said.
She had a journalist's eye for detail. The doctor kept me in the hospital for 2 days, and when I came home, I was down like I had never been before. They had pumped my stomach, and it felt like everything inside of me had been thoroughly blended with a milkshake machine and then poured out. I was discharged on an overcast Friday morning when my mother was at work, so the housekeeper, Mrs. Cooper, picked me up in the car. She brought me chicken broth and a thermos. I was wearing the clothes I'd been admitted in, a blue sweater that I had to throw away when I got home because there was dry vomit all down the sleeve. I lived in Chevy Chase, Maryland, in a brick house on a corner lot with a beech tree in front. My window was the one all the way to the left, hidden behind the leaves in the summer. There were flagstones going up to the front door. It was a very nice house, which I didn't realize at the time because it looked like all the other houses in the neighborhood, and I'd never lived anywhere else. January, 1966. Buenos Aires, Argentina. I met with Nico Fermetti in his kitchen on a Thursday evening after dinner, the two of us sitting in chairs pulled up to a formica table with a chrome band around the edge. The surface was bubbled and bleached in places from cigarette burns, the pox in the plastic left over after the ash had been scrubbed out. Nico's wife hovered at the stove, which he didn't seem to mind. I didn't like it. I saw no reason to trust her, and she was clearly suspicious of me. I couldn't guess who Nico had told her I was. I had brought my things in a small gray hard case, which I kept beside my chair. Signora Fermetti silently offered me a cup of instant coffee with hot milk. I thanked her, although she'd already turned her back, and then burned my lips on the drink and set it down. Argentines never seemed to have this problem. I'd spent the 2 weeks I'd been in country with the roof of my mouth perpetually scalded.
"Let's see the toys, Anne," Nico said.
"She has to go," I said, in English.
"Poof," he said, waving his hand dismissively. "It's a rule," I said.
Nico was very tall, well over 6 feet, with a long torso that sloped down to a heavy gut. He had a large bald head and a dark mustache and bad posture that might put people at ease. He was the contact Jerry had told me about. Officially, he was a foreman for a massive construction firm called Aliadas S.A. Unofficially, he was the man that the president of Aliadas S.A. called if he had a problem. Nico knew everyone and could fix anything. He had spent his life in this working-class neighborhood in Buenos Aires, which meant that he knew every union from the ground up, and he had built houses for the rich for 20 years, which meant he knew the old money families who summered in Punta del Este and Mar del Plata, the core of the Buenos Aires elite. The president of Aliadas was friendly with the CIA because communism